So I remember saying often to my dad, he took us on some wonderful vacations. Just, it was always to the same place, always to the lake. All year long, he'd probably, he banked a certain amount of money out of his paycheck every single month or week. How often he got paid, he didn't share those details with me. But he saved faithfully so he could take his family for 2 weeks to a nice little resort in Minnesota, near Park Rapids, Minnesota. And we loved it. Matter of fact, our children have continued to join us there when we can all put our schedules together, and it could be costly. But I am so thankful that Dad did that. And I said to him one day when we were down the basement, I just remember being so excited about the lake coming up in a couple of weeks. And I said to him, I just can't wait to go to the lake. Now, when you say that to a stubborn Dutchman, this is the kind of response you get. Well, you're just going to have to wait. It was just a figure of speech, Dad, I think. I didn't even know what a figure of speech was then. But, you know, come on. I just can't wait. Well, you're just going to have to wait. So I have in your questions here, this would be an enjoyable way to engage somebody in any conversation. Talk about times, any time, when you've struggled over waiting. Have a good conversation about that. Seriously. Among yourselves, not right now, but have a good conversation. Maybe somebody who didn't know to be part of this service today, that's fine. Ask a neighbor, ask a friend. When have you struggled with the idea of overwaiting? Well, let's look at the inside of this bulletin. I'm going to read the words that Daniel read earlier, taken from our notes. I wanted you to have this. This is from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. I've been using this, I think, since for the last probably 48, 49 years. This is from Isaiah chapter 40, after God has told his people repeatedly, asking them questions, why did you go make this alliance with Assyria? I told you I'm going to take care of you. Why did you make alliances with Egypt? Why did you make alliances with the Syrians? Why? You rush out to make peace treaties with these people. And I told you to wait for me. I know you. I love you. You've been singing those hymns from the psalmist for a long time, and you didn't know that I love you. So wait for me. And in Isaiah chapter 40, when he talks about the rulers of the world and their armies as being like grasshoppers, he says, you've got to wait for me. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Don't you believe that? Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Yet those who wait for the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord to give them strength and point out the way and rescue them and grow them and listen to prayers and answer prayers, those who wait on the Lord gain new strength. I used to think that, when I was a youth pastor, people would say, is all you do is just play ping pong? Just, it seems like you're always up at church with the young people and you're playing ping pong. And, you'd think with all that ping pong, I would have been playing in the Olympics at some time. But there was one thing I didn't learn to do as well as I should have, and that was, I would tend to jump at the ball. I'd reach for the ball. I'd strike it too soon. And I had a hard time always learning to wait till just the right time. It might be way back behind the table. You watch these guys play. Just wait it out. Baseball players, as the young players are. If we've watched an awful lot of baseball over the last 5 to 8 years, and we'd hear their coaches saying to their young ones, let it travel. Let it travel. Let the ball travel. Let it come till it gets over the plate. And the kids would reach and they had to let it travel. And even recently, I heard listening to probably an Angels game, one of the guys who was a commentator said, these guys learned it from the time they were young, but they still have to learn it. They need to let the ball travel. Let it travel. Let it get to you before you strike at it. So I'm going to assume, because I know you, and we were singing that song today, I can feel it here. The atmosphere is changing now. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Well, what's that all about? Well, you're followers of Christ. You know him. You love him. And I know you want to grow in him. But sometimes in the process of wanting to grow in Christ, we tend to rush it. We reach, and sometimes the way we rush it is we might kind of invest in certain things in our spiritual lives that can confuse us and cause us to strike and get to trying to become a spiritual giant. A wonderfully surrendered spiritual giant before we're there. We need to learn to do this. We wait, and here's the operative word, the operative little word, and it is the word to wait by faith. By faith. Living by faith is actually the theme of the book of Galatians that we've been studying for a number of weeks. Remember when we were in Galatians chapter 2, the end of the chapter, Galatians chapter 2. I hope you've got your Bible open. And Paul says this at the end of Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, probably most of us have memorized that. Maybe many of us have memorized that verse, Galatians 2:20, in maybe the NIV, maybe the NASB, New King James, King James. I don't know what, but many of us have memorized that. I've been crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live. And the life I live in this body, now I say I've been crucified with him, but here I am. I'm still alive. I still want to grow in him. How am I going to grow in him? Well, I have to live by faith. Live constantly trusting this one who loved me and gave himself for me. From the time I'm a young person, I need to grow. I've been crucified with Christ as a young person here. Nevertheless, I live, and I've got this whole life out ahead of me to live. I need to live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I keep growing as my life goes on. I keep going through all of these different transitions and different waves of life as a young person, as a young adult, as a young parent, all along the way. And as I get old and I begin to lose physical strength and maybe my mind and the quickness of my thought changes, it's not as sharp as it was, but at every stage along the way, as I want to grow in Christ, the way I grow in Christ is living by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I keep coming back to trusting him because it's the same God who said to the Israelites, don't trust some other form of defense. Don't trust that political leader or this political leader. Don't trust some anti-aging process. Don't trust, don't trust a bazillion other things. Like, don't put your trust in what some perfect form of worship. Something that's got your kind of resonance to it. That's not the magic bullet when it comes to a growing relationship to Christ. Don't trust the rhythm of the ministry to make it up for you. Paul was talking about here, because he said someone is trying to kind of knock you off base here in terms of your growing in your relationship with him. And they keep substituting the law. But it's not the law. It's not circumcision. It is Christ who sets us free. It is faith in Christ that allows us to grow in him. So check your heart. Check your prayers. Check your confidence. Are you growing because you're once again waiting on him to grow you? Look at Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read the first six verses from the New International. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Free from what? I asked that question 2 weeks ago, right? Sunday before last. I said, from what did Christ set you free? Well, maybe the obvious answer here is he set us free from the law. From the law as being something that would kind of make, really establish our relationship with him. The law was really good. We learned earlier in this little letter The law was a wonderful teacher to tell us, boy, you really need a savior. Everybody needs a savior. So you better look to something other than whatever the form of religion is. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. I asked you to add to your questions. I wonder if you answered this. He set you free from what? From the law. He set you free from a necessary addiction to sin. And he set you free in order to what? In order to enjoy my relationship with him. In order to have a certain sense of confidence that he's got me. He's got my back and he's got my front. He's got me surrounded. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. Like he could have said at this point, like what? In essence, he does. When he says, mark my words, pay attention to this. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, you Gentiles, if you let yourselves be circumcised because somebody has captured your attention to think, you know, you're not going to be a real Christian unless you let yourself be circumcised. Mark my words. If you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Well, that's pretty stark words, isn't it? I really like it. This last week, one of our young adults asked me that question. What does that mean? If you let yourself be circumcised, I mean, this wasn't just like a, yeah, you can be circumcised if you really want to be, you Gentiles. He said, if you get suckered into this, if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Stop for a moment. Just put your finger there. I want to come back to it. If you let yourself be suckered into thinking, you know, we didn't use the right kind of music here. Weren't the drums kind of loud today? You know, like, well, so what? You know, is that, I remember, one of my favorite theologians actually said once, you know what's wrong with the church today? It's the beat. It's the beat. God can't, you know, what about all those places where the beat is about the only thing that they have for music? You know, it's the rhythm. Are you serious? Those people can't worship God, you know, it's the beat. We can get stuck over this. Mark my words, if you let yourselves be captured by this issue of being circumcised, then you got to be circumcised. And if you do that, Christ is of no value to you because you've already taken your eyes off of Christ as the one who is your Savior, and you've put your confidence in this earlier form of identifying with other believers. Verse 3, again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is, therefore, if he wants to go down that path, then he's got to be, he's obligated to obey the whole law, and you're going to fall flat on your face if you do that. That's my parenthesis to put in there. You'll fall flat on your face. You who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. You are no longer operating according to this reality. We are saved by grace and grace alone. If Christ hadn't gone to that cross, we would still be in our sins. We'd still be relying on animal sacrifices that ultimately would have been pointing toward every one of those blood sacrifices to Christ who would hang on the cross one day. Again, I declare to you, he who allows himself to be circumcised is obligated to obey the whole law. And you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ, and you have fallen away from grace. Grace that saves us and grace that is transforming grace. Can I say God owes me a spiritually pumped up life? Does he owe that to me? When I fall flat on my face, does he owe me? Come on, why didn't he provide a way out of this? You know, like some sort of spiritual weightlifting powerhouse. No, he owes that to me. No, it's always by grace when he enters into my life, when he reminds me, don't go down that path, John. When he reminds the church, don't go down that path. Because as a church, if you get messed up with this and you start thinking it is the form of religion, it is the form of worship, it is the form of evangelism, it is the form of having a quiet time with God. Well, didn't you know, by the way, didn't you know that the way to start your day out is about at the break of dawn is to be opening God's word and starting with the Psalms? Because that's the way I do it. And I'm going to start saying you need to do it the same way. Right? Amen? Can I hear an amen? Only the morning people are going to say that to me. Those who are not morning people, they're going to say, so much for my relationship with God. It's gone. No, I need to be... No. If it's the form, you're walking down the same... You're running down the wrong road. And you'll be alienated from Christ. It's not the form. It's not the sequence of disciplines, even though some of those disciplines really work well for us sometimes. But it's not the form. It is grace, by God's grace, that we are transformed day by day. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. There's the theme today. There's the theme. Now, here's the new law. You need to memorize that verse 5. I would actually love it if we would all memorize that so we had it down just like that. I'm not going to tell you which translation to use, but there it is. It's right there. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. Every word in that sentence in English, and especially in the original language that Paul wrote in Greek, every single word is powerful and power-packed. And it begins, actually, in the Greek, it actually begins with this dramatic switch for four full chapters, and for the first four verses, Paul has been saying, what have you been doing? What have you been going down this path, the wrong path? Look at chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, you... Foolish Galatians, the pronoun is, hey guys, I'm talking about you. You get it? You Galatians, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I'd like to learn this one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal of righteousness? That's my parenthesis here. Of just having your life together. You're the most wonderful Christian to be around. Are you getting there? Because you keep your pastor's morning devotional schedule. Come on, are you serious? Don't go down that path. Verse 5, chapter 5. He changes the very first word in the sentence, which here in this translation is the fourth for me. But by faith, we. Here's this huge contrast. We. Here's the principle Paul is saying. This is the way we live, and here's a principle for the way we all need to live our lives. It's a broad principle, folks, and yet it is very specific. It allows for all different cultures. It allows for all different times. It allows for all different ages and transitions and periods of life that people are going through. It allows for all of us. In verse 5, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. I want to be more righteous. I want to be a more righteous husband and a more righteous father and grandfather. I want to be a more righteous friend. I want to be one who is growing in terms of bearing fruit and communicating Christ to people who are lost. I want to be better at this. And I hope to keep getting better. And I don't know what's going to happen with my life. At my age, I start thinking about transitions in life. And when I see friends getting older and getting weaker and having trouble with, and then I start growing through those same things. See, this is for every age, every transition in life. Whether you're a young person or a teenager or a person in his 70s or older, a person working every day and toiling at their work, we want to get more righteous. We want to live a more consistent Christian life. By faith, this is what it's like for us. And this is the principle for everyone. You want to grow to be more righteous? You want to grow in your relationship with Christ? It is waiting by faith in the Spirit for the righteousness for which we really hope. I'm speaking those words slowly because it's every one of these this begins to bud. Do you want to grow? It is only this way. It is by faith. We keep waiting because this is what He wants for us. And He knows us so well. He knows us intimately. And it's because He knows us so intimately that He promised, Jesus promised His disciples that when I'm gone, I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and He will be in you. And He will remind you, if you'll wait on Him, just wait on Him. Wait before Him. Wait in fellowship with Him. Wait listening actively, actively waiting, eagerly waiting. Listen and say, Lord, just show me your way today. Just show me your way. Along the way, we develop friendships with people who are interested in listening with us. Hopefully it's family members and it's friends who begin to listen actively with us and eagerly together wait for God to show us the way. But we by faith eagerly await through the Spirit, the righteousness, the completeness, Paul talks about it elsewhere, the completeness for which we hope. Do you want to be complete in Christ? Wait before him. Wait beside him. Wait beneath him. Wait for him to show you the way. This is not, this kind of waiting is not spiritual laziness. It is let him speak. And listen and even respond then by trusting him. I don't know what it will be for me this week. I don't know what the details will be for you. I have no idea. But I do know this. He wants us all, by faith to eagerly wait for the righteousness that he wants to produce in us, that he produces. We're going to talk more about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and about us waiting in the Spirit. To know where we're going with this, you just keep looking forward in this chapter. But understand where Paul says God wants to take us. He wants us to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, mercy. He wants us to grow in all of that and become more and more complete. Let's eagerly wait on him. Would you stand with me and I'll lead us in prayer? I appreciate it so much knowing that you and others are taking the questions out and you're thinking about them, you're talking about them. May you continue to do so. Engage people all the more as you personalize is before the Lord what God wants. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you that every word really is to matter for each one of your people. Every word matters because you keep speaking. I pray, Father, that by your Spirit, you'll get my attention more and more. And I pray this for my family and friends. In Jesus' name, amen.